Yeah, you are faithful. So I speak out your word. It has the power to change my world. And you're my breakthrough. Yeah, you're my breakthrough.
Come on, you tell him.
I will trust you. I will trust you.
Watch.
if you believe. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Amen.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are we feeling this morning? Awesome. I am so excited to just come to the house of God and just thank Him this morning. Why don't you just stand up? And we're going to give God the praise He deserves this morning. Amen. Awesome. All right. Do you like the stage? It's really pretty. Okay, go ahead. Clap your hands. Can I hear a shout if you love Jesus this morning? All right, repeat after me. Sing, oh hallelujah.
Oh hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh hallelujah.
Oh hallelujah.
Our God saves.
Our God saves.
Oh hallelujah.
Oh hallelujah.
Highest praises.
Highest praises.
Oh hallelujah.
Oh hallelujah.
We give thanks. For who you are and all you've done. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, my soul cries hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Come on, sing this again.
Sing, oh hallelujah.
Oh hallelujah.
Oh hallelujah.
Oh hallelujah.
Our God save.
Our God save.
Sing, oh hallelujah.
Oh hallelujah.
Highest praises.
Highest praises.
Oh hallelujah.
Oh hallelujah.
We give thanks.
We give thanks.
I'm grateful for who you are and all you've done.
Thank you. But we're thankful for your blood. Jesus, thank you for shedding your blood for us. Thank you for your forgiveness, God.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can can wash away my sin. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole?
Can make me whole again. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Sing, oh,
oh.
Watching
in me, thine all in all. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Hallelujah. Can I just get you to just nestle in right now? Come on, nestle in with Jesus. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. That's all right. You'll figure it out. Just you and him. Just you and him. Lord, we worship you this morning. We thank you for your presence. God, you're doing work. And if you're having, I just sense in my spirit, there are a bunch of people that are going to get healed in their lungs today. If you put your hand on your lungs, if you're having problems with your lungs, put your hands on your lungs this morning. Right now, I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, I speak to the lungs. I command right now, Father, any infection, disease, or sickness, I command you to come out of their lungs right now in Jesus' name. Go. Father, I speak specifically to the one in the back right side of the lung. God, I curse that disease in Jesus' name. I command you to shrivel up and die, and no evidence in Jesus' name. Father, I also pray for those that are struggling, Lord, with the common cold, Lord, even sinus infections. I command right now God's sickness to leave the body of Christ. Lord, I thank you that Jesus, you paid for it on Calvary. Lord, it's nothing we have to beg for or plead for. You are a compassionate God, and you love healing your children. So in Jesus' name, even to the common cold, I curse you. I speak to the bacteria. I speak, oh God, even to the germs. I speak right now to viral infections. I curse you in Jesus' name. And I command you to come out of the children of God. Now, Father, I thank you. And Lord, even the small things you care about. You want your babies healthy, that we can do your work and your will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
You're watching by live stream right now. The Holy Spirit's just come into your room. You feel conviction. And right now, I want to lead you to Jesus. I want you to know that the power of God will wash away every one of your sins. That today you'll be a brand new person. You see, you're watching by computer, but Jesus is in your house. And he's there to bring you home to his house. So if you'll bow your head right now at your house, right now where you are, and just pray with me. Dear Jesus, right out loud, right at your house. Dear Jesus, I recognize your presence. I recognize that I need you. I am a sinner. I ask you today to wash my sins away, to make me a brand new person. I receive you. I turn away from sin, and I turn towards you. With all of my heart, I receive you now in Jesus' name. You prayed that prayer right now on live stream. Come on, I know you did. Because God wouldn't be ministering right now if you weren't going to do it. So make sure you get down. And we have a Bible for you. We want you to grow up in Christ, not just get saved. Come on, can you give God praise this morning for that soul that gave their heart to the Lord?
For God, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Chains are gone.
Hallelujah. 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 The Holy Spirit's moving right now. Some of you just need to be free in Jesus. God's touching your life right now. If you'll just reach your hands up and reach out to Christ, He's ready to touch you right now. He loves you so much. He has so much for your life right now. Lord, I release that anointing, God. Your presence, your power from heaven. God, we recognize you as our supreme authority, our owner. God, we thank you that you're willing to touch us, your people. Way down here in Horseheads, New York, God, you care so much for us. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, there is no sickness, no disease. There's no sin too strong for you. That this morning, God, you're setting people free. You're setting people free. That person still, you have not received it. It's in your lung, on the bottom part of the lobe. You feel it from your back in. It is not ribs. It is not muscular. It is not your back. It is a lung. All you need to say is, Jesus, I receive right now your healing. God will start to figure out that. He'll set you free right now. He'll show you what it was. You'll be made whole. Father, I thank you that this morning we're in your presence. God, we are so blessed to be in the presence of God. Lord, sometimes we take advantage and, Lord, we choose when we want to be here. But God, the truth is that we are so honored that where two or three are gathered, there you are in our midst. God, today we are literally in the presence of heaven. And Father, we give you honor for being here with us. Honor for being here with us, Father. Lord, it overwhelms us to think that you would take the time to be in this room. You love us so much. You love us so much. As an individual here wraps from your belly button above your pelvis all the way to your back, I have no clue. All I know is Jesus loves you. And today, He's taking away the pain and the cause of it. Get ready. Go. Lord, I thank you that is gone. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Jesus, that you still move the same way you did in the book of Acts. And God, we take you at your word, for your word is truth. Jesus, we need more of you. We surrender. We surrender to gain more of Christ. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
My chains are gone. Yes. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love.
Amen.
Spirit. He's real and he loves you. He loves you. The chaotic world has to stop at this moment because you've chosen to place yourself in his presence. Fear has to be arrested. Sickness has to go. I was listening to a radio program the other day, and an example that was used stood out to me, and the Lord just brought it back to my remembrance. I have a wood stove, and I heat my house mainly by my wood stove. One whole side of my house is heated by wood stove. The other side's by a pellet stove. Sometimes I get up in the morning, and all the wood is burned down, and you open it up, and it just looks black. You know, the gray soot and the black pieces of coal. Really no burning embers. What I do is I then take them and I pile them in the middle. And I open up the damper and the air comes in. And all of a sudden those dark black coals, they start to glow. And I take a piece of wood and I put it on top, and all of a sudden a fire begins all over again. The enemy would love to take your coal and set it all by itself. For when a coal is by itself, it doesn't have the energy enough to start another fire. But every one of you are a coal of fire of God. You have the fire of the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of you. And when we come together, hallelujah, I just sense the anointing. We come together, this place just burns. And some of you might feel like you're all alone, but when you're in this place, you'll feel the fire and the breath of God breathing down on your coal. You're not alone. And I want you to recognize that God wants to touch you today. The enemy's been working to pull some of you all by yourself. Don't fall into his trap. If he can get you by yourself, your coal will go out. But if you'll stay with the collective and allow the breath of the Holy Ghost to breathe on you, you'll find that this is a place of refreshing and renewing and rebuilding in your life. Amen? Amen? I do want to say something this morning. I just want to say to Liz Zink, young lady, I am so proud of you. She's had an hour and a half sleep, and she's standing in the house of God this morning. May the presence of God overwhelm you in such a way, in Jesus' name. Fire of God. Father, she will just feel so refreshed. That, Lord, her next sleep will be so deep and so refreshing in you. And Lord, she'll have dreams in the Spirit. Dreams and visions for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Boy, I don't know about you. I could stay in this all day. I just sense the Holy Ghost, the presence of the Lord. But I just want you to know today that we need each other. Don't get by yourself. It don't work. That's what the enemy tries to do. Get you all by yourself. And then he kills you. Some of you are playing with sin. You're going to die. You need to hear your pastor. Stop playing with sin. You're going to die. The wages of sin is death. Today, the compassion of God is warning you. Stay away from sin. It will cost you. It might not cost you your soul, but it can cost you your destiny. Yes, it can. So be wise. God's got great things for your life. Amen. Can you go around to five or six folks and say, God's got great things for your life? Why don't you go to people you don't know this morning and say, good morning. God's got great things for your life. Come on, make sure you meet somebody you don't know. Make sure you don't know. Shake their hand and say good morning. God's got great things for you.
Whoa. He's coming on the clouds.
He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? And our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. Yeah! Whoa. So open up the gates.
So open up the gates. Make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to save.
Good morning. We'd like to welcome you to His Tabernacle Family Church. Are you excited to be together corporately this morning? There's power when we come together as a corporate body. We have to be a people that are hungry for the move of God in our life and to raise our level of expectancy even before we come through the doors of the church. See, God gives us strategies on how to increase the power and the anointing in the house of God. And one of the ways that we do that is to come in ready and come in with expectant hearts and with a desire and a hunger that surpasses even even what we had the day before. But when we come together corporately, that's where revival begins to break out in the house of God. There is power. One should put 1,000 to flight, but two should put 10,000 to flight. And as one man sharpens another, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. It's God's plan for us to be in the house together. So we would like to welcome you this morning, not to just His Tabernacle Family Church, but to an opportunity to corporately, as the family of God, be in the presence of God. Isn't He awesome? We would like to welcome our guests this morning. If you are a guest, please raise your hand. We have a gift for you. We really believe in making sure that our guests feel welcome and valued. We have some right up here. Anyone else that's a guest in the house this morning? Again, we just want to give you a gift. After service, we have a guest reception right over here. If you go out these back doors and around down this hallway, you'll see a sign for it. You'll have an opportunity to meet our pastors and our ministers, to enjoy a few refreshments. We love you and are so excited to welcome you to this house. We're all about people, and so we're really excited to build relationship with you. We also would like to welcome live stream this morning. Isn't God awesome? He's already ministering in your living room. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning to the powerful service that God has prepared for you. And we have one really important announcement. Everything else is in your bulletin, but we'd like you to be aware of our Christmas Eve service. It is beautiful and powerful and anointed. It's not just another night where we come together to sing Christmas carols. God always shows up. That is going to be December 24th at 7 p.m. So please mark your calendar, save the date, make it a priority, a tradition for you and your family that you always come to seek God in this house. Christmas Eve, December 24th, 7 p.m. Pastor Rhonda.
I thought I had more time, but apparently the computer froze and we didn't get commercials this morning, so whew, I'm out of breath. But I got to hug a lot of people, and it was awesome. I love you guys. You're amazing. We do. Pastor and I absolutely love, love, love pastoring this church, this awesome, incredible group of people. Last night we did the parade, and it's so much fun to be in our community. And we did holidays. So two events going on all over the place. Oh, and that was the day before. Oh, that's right. We've been busy. The Elmira Parade on Friday. It's just all a blur. Elmira Parade on Friday, and then yesterday, Holidays and the Corning Parade of Lights. So all of you were out there loving on your community. It's such a fun time to hang out together and be a blessing. I heard him coming. I could feel it.
I was really a little upset last night as I saw another church beat our buttocks in the Parade of Lights. Next year, we got to have a better parade. Really, I mean, their float was phenomenal. Not that ours was bad, but theirs was amazing. Not that I'm competitive, but we've got to beat them next year.
The good part is he was a very good sport and went over and congratulated them and told them what an awesome job that they did. So good for you, Pastor Spencer, for playing nicely. So we're entering into this time of prosperity, and God loves when His children prosper. I want to read a couple of scriptures to you. Of course, Malachi 3. There are plenty of other scriptures on tithing, but what we love so much is the promise that is attached in Malachi 3, that if you bring all the tithes in the storehouse, so that there may be meat in my house, and prove me in this, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. And how many of you want to walk under an open heaven? Amen. I mean, that goes from everything in your life. It's not just your finances. When there's an open heaven, that means access to the throne room. But at the beginning of our blessing passage that we quote every single week and that we will quote again today from Deuteronomy 28. It starts by saying, if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and obey all of his commands, then these blessings will come upon you. You see, we don't just get the open heaven. It's obedience that leads to the open heaven. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat of the good of the land. When we obey God's word in our giving and our tithes and our offerings, we have an open heaven. We have prosperity, blessing that comes to us. We will eat of the good of the land. And then Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. It's a promise from the word of God. When his word goes out, it does not return void. So when we walk in obedience, we can have the confidence that we are making our way prosperous and we will have good success. The word also says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. And I can tell you, in 28, 30 years of ministry, how many years for you? Oh, 30 years of ministry, we have never, ever seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. Always, when people obey the word of God, his word cannot lie. Always, blessing, prosperity, favor, open heaven is before us. So if you're ready today to walk under an open heaven in obedience, stand to your feet. We're going to give our tithes and offerings, and we're going to make that supernatural declaration from Deuteronomy 28. If you'll repeat it after me, and listen, I want you to declare this. I want you to have such a confidence that wells up inside of you when you're giving your tithes and offerings, that'll break some things off, that'll change some things, that'll open up some things. Favors coming to you, promotions, jobs, advancement, blessing, being made whole, healing, restoration. I want you to have confidence that those are the things that are coming to you when you say this. So let's say it with confidence. Deuteronomy 28. If I obey, then I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button. Give right along with us, or you can even text to give.
You'll come. Let your glory fall as you glory fall as you respond to us.
Praise the Lord. Last night, when the parade was accomplished, my wife and I, we dressed really nice. We love walking in the parades. My wife and I love walking in the parades. We don't have to walk in the parades. We choose to because we love the community to see that the church belongs in the community and not in a building. Can I hear an amen? And so last night, the parade was, it was an amazing parade. Who was at the parade? It was awesome. Who was in the parade? Amen. It was a great crowd. We gave out, I don't know how many mints we gave out, chapsticks, His Tabernacle chapsticks. So every time they do something with their lips, they got to look down and go, I love His Tabernacle. Hallelujah. We also gave out little glow sticks and waved at everybody and the dancers. We only had three dancers last night because they switched it to a Saturday night. But man, the dancers, where's Brother Josh? He's crazy. Where is Brother Josh? Is he here? Josh, are you here? Where are you, Josh? Josh, 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 Josh. He's here. Oh, Josh, wherever you are. So we're on our way back, and it starts to rain. No, it didn't start to rain. It started to downpour. Oh, my goodness. It was an open heaven for sure. So here my wife and I are really nicely dressed. We're running down, literally running down the roads in Corning. You know, so many of us are running from something, but many of us need to start running to someone. Amen. So I challenge you to surrender your life a little bit more. Now, we were running from the rain. We didn't make it. And let me tell you, we were cold. When you run from Jesus, you get awful cold. So run to him, and you'll always stay toasty warm. Can I hear an amen? My wife is leaving, and Pastor Jade is leaving. They're leaving tomorrow morning on a jet plane. Leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I do know because I made sure the ticket wasn't opened. Amen? So they're leaving. They're doing ministry in South Africa. They've been invited many months ago. As you know, Pastor Rhonda does a tremendous she has a phenomenal book. If you have not purchased her book yet, you're crazy. Maybe you didn't know that it's out there. It's called No More Hurt. Phenomenal book. It will change your life. Amen. And so she is actually going over to South Africa. They invited her to do a women's conference over there, and they started selling seats. And now they're at over 450 seats. And one person alone, one woman, bought 250 copies of the book. And to be able to bless all these other folks with. So Pastor Ron will be leaving tomorrow, and Pastor Chad and I will be alone making our own breakfasts. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's move on. So we just want to pray for Pastor Ron and Pastor Jade as they go. Father, bless them. Lord, use them in a mighty dimension. Father, let this be a nation-changing opportunity. That, Father, truly your word of how to get healed in the heart will resound through Africa, through England, through America, and that, Lord, people will be set free from bitterness, from anger, from malice, that, God, they don't have to remain, Lord, in bondage to unforgiveness, but be free and free indeed. And everybody said, amen. I've so enjoyed the year. Have you noticed the background change? It's pretty. I just have loved this year, and that is the year of generosity. I love that God is generous to us. I love that God has called us to be generous people. Well, that got quiet, didn't it? I love that God called us to be generous. Remember our verse for the year, that if you're generous, that you'll be given generously back too. You see, the generous soul will become rich. He said, that's exactly what he said. And he wasn't talking about spiritual richness. He was talking about finances. When you and I are generous, God will bless us in every capacity of life. And many times what we find is that even when God has been generous to us, how many of you, Jesus has washed your sins away? Well, we need to have an altar call. Father, in the name of Jesus. How many of you have had your sins washed away? Not everybody still. One more shot. How many of you have had your sins washed away? I was excited watching Brother Bruce raise his hand. Glory to God. If you haven't, at the end of this service, we're going to give you an opportunity to know Jesus, to have your sins washed away, that you may know him. One thing I've found is that God is the most generous that we could ever ask. He's given us his very best. He gave us his best seed to get the best harvest. I cannot not talk about seed. Why? Because seed is the key to our lives. The seeds that we have planted, we are now reaping a harvest from. And in that also comes a principle. Now, I've been reminding everybody that we're called to live by principles and not by persuasion. What is a principle? A principle is a foundation of life. It's what you know as right. It's how you live your life. And you pass that principle on to the next generation. A persuasion is when you are persuaded by emotions, by your feelings, by your circumstances, and your life is lived according to that. When we live according to persuasion, we're in big trouble. Why are we in trouble? Because our circumstances change on a consistent basis. But when we live by principle, then no matter what is happening, we are going to remain steadfast in our life. That is what God has for you. One of these principles is, I found so many people ask me, Pastor, I'm wondering what the will of God is for my life. Well, today I want to talk about one facet of the will of God for your life. And this facet opens up an opportunity and opens up a catacomb of opportunity for you and I to be able to be more blessed in our life and our walk with Jesus. You see, we are living in an era where thankfulness is a little bit lost. Can I hear an amen? Do you remember when you were kids, maybe not, maybe you're young, where your mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, if you did not say please and thank you, that you went without? Can I have that? What do you mean? Can you have that? Can I have that? I want that. Please? No. Can I have that? Schwack. Can I hear an amen? You know, you got to the table and you didn't say thank you. You didn't say please. You had to get up from the table. Well, why is that? Because there was a principle that was being laid in your life by your parents about being appreciative of what you have received. And every one of us in this room, how many have been born again? I said, how many have been born again? If you've been born again, shout amen. Well, I don't want to shout amen. Again, it gets down to a matter of recognizing that when you have received something for free, there's a necessity to be appreciative and to be thankful for what you have. And many of us are not living appreciative. We live almost obligation. You know, people are obligated to bless us. And we've stepped into this realm now where people actually believe that we owe them something. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You know, we get around children today and we recognize that many of them have not been taught these principles. And literally, they believe we owe them. We owe them money. We owe them presents. I've told the story before about my mother. I needed to go to my youth pastor's house one day. And that's when I was a cocky little child. And I said to my ma, I said, I need you to take me to Rudy and Loretta's house. And she said, well, I'm not going there. And I says, well, you need to take me there. So my mom conceded, and I got into the car. We were on our way to Gardner, Massachusetts, almost there. And she said, you know, you could at least say thank you. And I said, why? You owe me this. Well, the car got pulled over, and she said, get out. And I snickered because I really believed, you know, your parents have done that before, maybe, that when they drive away, they're coming back for you. She never came back. My mother sits in the room. Thank you, mother. But she pulled over and she let me out. And I'm inside, I'm saying, yeah, right. She has to take me to Gardner. That's her responsibility. She's my mother. Let me tell you, when I got left on the side of the street, back in those days, you could thumb without being murdered. And my thumb was extended. I needed to get a ride. I was stuck between both worlds. I couldn't get to Rudy and Loretta's house. They lived in Timbuktu. And I couldn't get home without thumbing. Here I was. My mom left me. Well, why did she leave me? Not because she's a bad mom, but because she was trying to teach me a principle that you must be appreciative of what you have and what has been given. Thankfulness is a major part of our life and is a principle of heaven that we have got to get a hold of. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, that in the last days will come perilous times. What does that mean? It's showing that what the last days will look like. Do you know what one of them is in the description? Unthankfulness. That people will become unthankful, unappreciative of what has been accomplished in their life. You see, we've got to reestablish as the body of Christ this principle within our children and within our own life that we are appreciative of what God has done for us. I don't know about you, but I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve that Jesus came after me. For you have you have not chosen him, but he chose you. Christ came after you. He gave you love when we are not lovely. Can I hear an amen? How many of you remember your life of sin? How many of you were lovely enough for Jesus to come and buy? No, I'm telling you, we weren't all that pretty. We were living drenched in sin, but Jesus Christ came. Well, I wasn't as bad of a sinner as Rhonda. Well, neither was I, but we can move on from there. It has nothing to do with amounts. It has to do with, it doesn't matter whether it's big sin or small sin, for the wages of sin is death. So God, by his great mercy, God, by his great love, God, by his great compassion, he looked at us and he sought after us. Yeah, God sought after you. He looked for you. He came for you. No man can come to the Father unless the Spirit of God draws him. You see, today we are so blessed because we are the people of God and we must be thankful for what we have received. Can I hear an amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says this. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You see, if you've ever wanted to know the will of God, this is it right here. In everything, give thanks, recognizing that our life is so blessed. Now, I want you to know this morning, it doesn't matter how bad your life is, there's somebody who has it worse. In fact, my wife and I, we were running down the street with Jay Collins, getting soaked last night, and I want you to know that I probably should run, but running is an awful disease that everyone should stay away from. And here I was running down the street. Here's Pastor Rhonda. She looked like a wet dog, her hair all strangled down, and we're supposed to go out to dinner, and you know how she fixed her hair? She used the truck heater as a blow dryer. Seriously. So here we are. We're running down the street. And we got into the car. It says, stinking rain. And it came to me. You know, there's somebody who would love to be able to run down the street. Because of their physical disability, can't run anymore. Here I am, I'm complaining because I'm running. The fact is that every one of us have been so overwhelmingly blessed in our lives. No matter how bad your life is, no matter how much of a struggle you've had in your life, every one of us are blessed. If all we have is Jesus, we are absolutely blessed. Can I hear an amen? You know, when I'm down in Mexico, it always reminds me how blessed we are. You know, as Americans, you know, we make, I think minimum wage is now $11 on its way to $15 or something like that. And down there, they make literally about $7 a day. Now, that's if you got a good wage. Now, you need to recognize, everyone says, well, it's a different way of living. Their economy is less expensive. No, that's not true. They pay the same amounts that we pay here in America, but they have to live on $7 a day. I sit back and I say, thank you, Jesus. You have truly blessed us. You have prospered us. Lord, how can we bless them? Okay? I love blessing our Mexico family right now. Amen. We have three churches in Mexico right now, and we are so blessed to be able to be a blessing to them. You see, coming back to understanding that we need to be people that are thankful for what we've received. How many of you have a pillow in your bed? I should say, how many of you have a bed? How many of you got a pillow? How many of you got two pillows? How many sick people have more than five pillows on their bed? Dear Jesus. All right, let's see how many people got the most. Who's got 10 pillows? One, oh, wow. One, two, three. Who's got 12 pillows? We have 10 pillows. We don't use 10 pillows. Who's got 20 pillows? Whew, thank you, Jesus. It's amazing. We even think of a pillow as something that's, well, that's normal for us. But really, let's be real. There are places all over the planet that have never had a pillow. How many of you got at least two pair of shoes? How many got 20 pair of shoes? Don't be a liar now. How many of you got 100 pair of shoes? Dead up. Two ladies in the front row just raised their hands. They got 100 pair of shoes. 100 pair of shoes. How many of you got matching purses with those shoes? You notice I didn't ask if the guys had 100 pair of shoes. Thank you. Yes, they do. Frank Nemeth has at least 100 pair of shoes. You see, we look at what we have. How many of you had breakfast this morning? How many of you didn't have breakfast, not because you couldn't, but because you didn't have any ability to have breakfast? You see, the fact is that every one of us are blessed enough to where we're able to eat breakfast and eat food whenever we want to. It might not be a Delmonico steak every night. It might not be lobster and shrimp. But we have food that we can put in our belly. We can get healthy. You see, we are overwhelmingly blessed as men and women of God. And we've got to remember that in the last days, one of the signs of the last days is that the people will become unthankful for what's been done in their heart. And I don't know about you. I am thankful for what the Lord has done for me. The book of Luke chapter 17 talks about this. The Bible says there were 10 lepers that came to Jesus. And he entered a certain village, and he met 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Now, I want to remind you what leprosy is. Leprosy is a disease that eats your flesh away. So if you have a leprosy of the nose, literally it eats and makes it white first, and then starts eating away at the flesh, so you have an open cavity with no nose. If you have leprosy on your hand, it eats your fingers right down to the bones. I mean, there are still leper camps all over the world, but not in America. Can you hear an amen? So here, 10 of them, they stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, Jesus said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." So it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Isn't that cool? I love the authority in the name of Jesus. As they went, Jesus didn't even sit back and say, "In Jesus' name be healed." He didn't even do that. He just says, as you go, you'll be cleansed. And as they went, all 10 of them were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. That's why I ask, how many of you are born again? Shout amen. Amen. Many of you wouldn't shout. But when you really recognize the price that was paid for what you and I received, we've got a reason to shout. I was in darkness, but God brought me out. And I'm here to testify and tell you about my wonderful reason to shout. You see, this man came back with a shout. I remember we were at Rod Parsley's one time, and this man was dancing all over the sanctuary, and his wife was nearby and dancing all over. And, you know, they were making absolute fools of themselves. And so I didn't say it out loud, but in my head, I was questioning, what are they doing, you know? Don't they realize there's 5,000 people here? And all of a sudden, Rod Parsley stood up, and he said, "I sense in my spirit that some of you are wondering about this couple." He said, "Let me tell you, she last year was diagnosed with a terminal brain cancer and that she was going to die. This man loves his wife. But one day, I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus, and that cancer disappeared from her brain." He said, "You want to know why he's dancing all over the place? Because he still has a wife that's alive, and that he can serve her together." I don't know about you, but there's a time when you can shout because you're so thankful for what God has done in your life. Can I hear an amen or oh my? The amazing part about this, the guy that came back, is the Bible said he was a Samaritan. Which means, remember, the Jews considered Samaritans less than dogs. So the saints didn't even come back. The Jewish guys didn't even come back. It was the guy that was thrown away on a normal basis came back. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed?" Isn't that amazing? Think about that. Jesus never saw them healed. He just told them to go, and they were healed on the way. But he knew that 10 were. Ooh, come on now. I just feel the Holy Ghost on that one. "Were not any of you found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." You see, so many of us forget to thank God. But the will of God is this, is that we're thankful. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. The will of God is that we're thankful. The will of God is that we start praying. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. You see, God knows that there's a secret in his will. His will always opens up a greater impact of presence. The more presence of you that you have of God, the more supernatural you will experience and evidence in your life. And God knows that the more we're thankful, the more we praise him, the more presence is released. For the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And all of a sudden, you'll start sensing the glory of God come down. Man, you could be living in hell. You could be living with Satan licking your toes. But when you start to give God thanks, when you start saying to the Lord, yes, I'm going through a hard time, but God, you saved me. And Lord, even if I die today, I know I'll see you face to face. God, I know the struggle that's in my life. But Lord, I thank you that you've given me a great family. God, I thank you that you've given me a pillow. God, I thank you that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. I thank you, God, that your word is true. I thank you, God, that you gave me hope and peace. I thank you, God, that you gave me the word. I thank you, God, that you gave me faith. I thank you, God, that you gave me the Holy Ghost who brooded over the earth at creation. I thank you, God, that I'm alive and I'm not dead. I thank you, God, that I have authority and power in the name of Jesus to call and say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. You see, it is a time to be thankful. It's not that you're not going to have relationship problems. It's not that you're not going to struggle at times with your health and struggle at times with your money. But the one thing that you know is that when you start to thank him, you invite him to come in, because now you're opening up the presence of heaven to be empowering your life. This is why it's so important to be thankful. When you're thankful, everything changes around you. I'm not saying the circumstance changes, but how you see it changes. You can't have what you can't see. Let me break that down for you. A person that can see can be completely blind. But when you can look in the spirit and call those things which are not as though they already are, because you can see them accomplished. Faith isn't I believe it when I receive it. Faith is I believe it before I can see it manifest on this earth. So when you're a person of thanksgiving, oh, I'll give you the verse later. What you're then doing is opening up the windows of heaven. What you're doing is then you're declaring that God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. That you got a God who is not against you, but is for you, and you are recognizing him. The Bible says it in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So the will of God is to be thankful. Turn to somebody and tell them three things you're thankful for right now. Could I have the testimonies come forward, please? Nick Castro, Jody, and also Chris and Angie, if you could all come on up. I just asked three people if they'd give testimonies. Now, we all have a testimony. We all have something to be thankful for. Amen? You just told somebody three things, right? Well, I didn't tell them anything. Then you're an ungrateful person. I'll just be straight with you. You need salvation. You're supposed to say that with a smile. Because if you've got nothing to thank God for, then, man, I tell you something, you're in big trouble. That means you're blind. And God wants you to see. So I just want Nick just to share her testimony of how God has brought her out and brought her to where she's at now.
Oh, my gosh, that's my roommate, everybody. hi, guys. Good morning. A lot of you guys see me up here almost every single Sunday, so... A lot of you already know that I serve in this house. I'm here more often than at my own home, I think. But a lot of you don't know where I started before I came here. So I have been coming for, like, I think 3 years now, which seems like forever to me, but it's really, in the grand scheme of things, not a lot. And what God has done in my life in the past 3 years has been more than the rest of the 21 years of my life. So my family, we went to church when I was young, but it wasn't like a real Holy Spirit-filled church. And I kind of learned to resent everybody that was supposed to be representing Jesus. And I didn't realize how debilitating that was to me until I found myself in a really, really weird place in life. I definitely got into the wrong scene in college. So I was exposed to some things that I probably shouldn't have been exposed to, which isn't anybody else's fault but my own, because I was living in ignorance and I was living in rebellion and I didn't realize what that looked like. But I fell kind of hard into drugs and alcohol and things like that. I was very self-destructive, and I thought that I was making all the right decisions, but I wasn't, and I didn't realize that until a woman named Kayla Keegan spent about a year and a half bothering me about this place called His Tabernacle, and I was like, absolutely not. I won't go. I won't do it. I am comfortable where I'm at, and then I came. And long story short, gave my life to Jesus, and it really, I didn't realize what that meant at that moment, but I gave my heart to Jesus in the fall, and in the wintertime for the Christmas program, I was like, you know what, I'm going to go out on a limb and invite my family, even though it's an hour and a half drive, and I don't think that they're going to come, but maybe they will, it's just once, and in my heart, I was like, if they could come every week, that would be amazing to see them. But I was like, I can't ask that. They live an hour and a half away. There's no way. Well, if you guys don't know, my mom and my stepdad, Rick, are sitting on the front row, and they come faithfully every single week, too. So not only, and my mom is hired on staff here. She runs the kids ministry, and she's been doing that for quite a while now. She's like almost in her first year here, so that's been awesome. My stepdad, He looks over the men's ministry worship team, and we're all serving. We're all here, and we're all growing, and we're all learning. And to look back on where we were before, it's crazy. So praise God. Hallelujah.
So I don't know how many people knew, but I was going through a lot of health issues for the whole month of September. And I was hospitalized with 105-degree fever, and my blood pressure was extremely low, and they tested for every disease on the planet, pretty much. And I kept having hopes that I would just get better, and I wasn't. I just kept getting worse, and sorry. So,
Where's your man?
So, anyways, I didn't come to church for a couple weeks, not because I didn't want to be here, but I was physically, Brett had to take me in a wheelchair to watch my daughter cheerlead. I was to the point where my body felt like it was like physically shutting down or something. So anyways, I finally got here. I said to Brett, I'm getting to church no matter what, and I'm surrendering to Jesus, and I'm laying all of the sickness at the cross. And I came up to the altar, but I couldn't stand during worship because I was in so much pain and I would feel lightheaded if I was standing. So Pastor Rhonda came down and she prayed with me. But the biggest thing that surprised me was she prayed for the thing that I hadn't told anybody, and that was the fears and the mental battle that, like, I wasn't going to see my kids grow up. So she prayed for that first, and then she prayed for my physical healing. And I left church, and I felt this weight lifted off my shoulders. And I got home, and I played Frisbee with my kids, and I baked an apple pie. And I was still, like, kind of waiting, like, on the edge of my seat, like, is this going to come back? And I called Pastor Rhonda on Monday, and I told her, and she said, you were healed. And I was 100% healed, and doctors were completely baffled. They're still sending me to specialists. They still are sending me for tests. And I'm just going saying, I am standing firm on the faith that I am healed.
Amen. Amen.
This is Chris and Ange, and I want to cover two things with them. for testimony. One, many of you don't know Chris, but Chris is part, before he was ever part of the motorcycle ministry, he was helping with the cameras and helping with the sound and running around doing whatever he could to serve the Lord. But many of you don't know his background. And Chris was a Wiccan.
Pagan.
Is there a difference?
Pagan is an umbrella of Wiccan. Basically, pagan does or studies all the earthly religions and stuff within itself. Well, Wiccan can be a witch, but it doesn't necessarily need to be a witch or a wizard. So yes, a pagan is someone that is a bit oversees everything.
Now you did weddings, right?
Yes.
He did weddings for the pagan and a pagan religion and served the devil. And how did you give your heart to Jesus?
Well, in all reality, thinking back onto it, it was either fight or flight. I turned around and worshiping the devil, I've always had to look behind my back because no matter what magic you put out, no matter how much good or positive or negative that you do, magic always has a price. And when I turn around and I'm facing the fears in my back, I found my wife, and I'm trying to get out of it, but I kept dragging my wife into it. And no matter how far I got, my wife and I, we just kept plummeting. And thanks to Bridget, she's a second service, but thanks to Bridget Weigel, she's the one that got us into the house, so all thanks to her. But I turned around, and I don't know, the words can't explain it. It's just that it comes down to the simple fact that it feels better to not look behind me and worry about what's going on to me, because I know now in my faith and my religion that the devil is behind me, that the Lord has got my back, and if he is with me, nobody can stand against me. So therefore, in return, no matter how much evil or negative that comes against me, my wife and I, we stand firm in the word, and we stand firm in the Lord, and we continue to grow in his spirit and in his faith. So I don't know how to answer that.
That's powerful. Now, they also came to my office many times. They were talking divorce. And I kept saying, hang on, you're going to keep growing. You're going to keep growing. How'd you do, Ange?
A lot of it was just listening to what you taught us, listening to what everyone at the church taught us, of fighting fair, being friends. It's really tough to explain it, but just growing together and praying together really helped strengthen us. And the words of Pastor Dan that was, shut up, Chris, was my favorite.
Yeah. Sorry. And, I mean, to on top of it, like I said earlier, it was just one of those, the wife and I, we were literally on our roads to divorce. And if it wasn't for the Lord having us and, you know, saving us, we would not have a family. My boys would not be feared of God and love God and want to worship and pray. My youngest son, I mean, every day he sings about Jesus. So I'm just like, my family is so blessed with what he's given us.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that powerful?
Thank you.
Listen, we all have a story of what we're thankful for and how God has changed us and how God has made us new people. We are new creatures in Jesus Christ. You know, I just look down, I see Sean Snowman, and I keep remembering his testimony. 20 years an alcoholic, set free, his family restored, and today he lifts his hands and serves in the house of the Lord. You know, there are people that are in the house, man, you grew up in church, and you never hardly did anything wrong, but you never served the Lord, but he saved you too. And you see, it doesn't matter what your testimony is, we all have something to thank God for. Can I hear an amen? You know, we all have hard things that come in our life. But I want to challenge you, and it is this, is that if you will do the will of God by praising him even in the dark times, you will find that the Lord will open the opportunities for his power to be released in your life. You see, this thankful thing is a powerful principle that we must live by. It's something that we got to remember, especially, listen, we all go to the dark side when the bad thing starts to come. We all think the worst in negativity when things start to come. But the great part about Jesus is that if you fix your eyes on him, the author and the perfecter of your faith, you will see yourself rise even from the ashes. And man, when the dry bones, you'll start seeing the blessing of heaven come on you. You see, even in the valley of dry bones, you'll find that you'll start getting fixed in Christ. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7 says this. It says, be anxious. Don't be worried. Don't be stressing over anything. Nothing. Turn to someone and say, don't stress over anything. Well, I think stress is just a normal part of life. Well, then you don't have to believe in the Bible. That's okay. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. See, there's the key. We all want the peace of God that's going to pass our understanding, that will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. But you can't have the peace until you come to the place of thanksgiving. Because when you're thanking him, you're declaring that thing that has not happened to already be accomplished in your life. It's time to be thankful. It's time to thank God for what you have. It's time to thank God for who you have. It's time to thank God for your marriage, your relationships. It's time to thank God even for those children. Can I hear an amen? When Paul and Silas were in prison, they started to be thankful, and guess what happened? It released heaven. Praise and thanksgiving releases heaven. And the Bible says that the prison they were in started to shake, and the doors flung open, and all the prisoners, not some of them, but all of them, even Paul and Silas, who were in the deepest part of the prison, they were set free. You see, we don't want to be part of the signs of the old times that say, In the last days, there will be perilous times. People will be unthankful. We all got something to thank God for. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Man, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know how hard it is in your life. I don't know the trouble in your life, but I know this. Let God trouble your trouble as you start to praise him and you start to thank him. And you'll find heaven will open up and hell will have to flee. For darkness always flees when light comes. Can I hear an amen? Darkness always flees when light comes. When you focus on Jesus, he is the light. And all of a sudden, the light will penetrate the darkness and darkness must flee. Even the shadows cannot stand in the presence of light. And Christ Jesus, when we start to thank him and praise him, all of a sudden, you will find that darkness has to flee. See, this morning, I'm excited because he said this in Isaiah 61, verse 3, to take off the spirit of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. And when you choose to do that, it's a choice, you know. Being thankful is a choice.
Well, I don't know.
That's your problem. I just told you, be thankful. It is the will of God. Stop complaining. Stop whining. Stop complaining. Stop whining. I can't hear you. Stop whining. Stop complaining. Why? Because it doesn't do anything. You can't change anything with that. But when you start to praise and you start to be thankful, all of a sudden heaven will open up. And your answer is right there. God is always good. Amen. I said God is always good. Amen. Bow your head with me this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church or religion. I want you to know him. I told you we were going to do this. Some of you, you came in here and man, you were just trying to shut the person up who got you into the room. But you know, you should be thankful. And you heard it already twice. You heard Nick thank God for Kayla. And you heard Chris and Ange thank God for... Y'all helping me now? Thank you. I know. I was almost there. Bridget, my wife, saying Bridget. Who were you thankful for? My mom tells her family story. None of them serving the Lord, but the next door neighbor came over and invited my mom and her brother to church, to Sunday school. Brought them to Sunday school. And guess what happened? I got two uncles that are pastors. The whole family's following the Lord. Even my aunt. Now, she's a wild woman. But Aunt Joan serving Jesus. And had a great miracle last year. She had breast cancer disappear. Ma, help me, right? Was it breast cancer? She was healed of breast cancer. And wasn't there something else? Shingles. She had horrible shingles, and God healed her of both. When you serve God, man, I tell you something. You got something to thank Him for. But today, if you do not know Jesus, I don't know how you live, man. I don't know how you do it. I'm not talking religion. I don't know how you do it. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to invite you to know Him. I want to invite you to have your sins washed. I want to invite you to a life of thankfulness, because now your life has purpose and meaning and direction. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you'd like Him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want you to slide your hand up. I want you to make a declaration of the Lord this morning. Is there anyone in the room today? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call. I'm sorry. What's that? 1. My wife wants to say something.
I just want to commission us all with homework from Pastor's message. You know, it's not enough just to hear it. Let's do it. Let's leave this place thankful with our words. If you have social media, go on and post what you're thankful for and hashtag thankful. If you don't, just share what you're thankful for with everybody around you that you encounter. And when you encounter something that's rough this week, I want the first thing that comes out of our mouths to be what we're thankful for. To be what we're thankful for. And you know, the coolest part about Paul and Silas, when he was saying that when they praised, everybody was set free. When we give praise and thanksgiving, it affects not just our own self, but it's going to set other people free. So be a part of today's sermon and setting everybody free around you by being thankful. So we have homework this week. I hope you don't mind if I gave homework.
Can I extend the homework? Can you please call or email or send a letter to the person that led you to Jesus? And thank them for being part of your change of life. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. God, we could stand here today for hours and hours and hours and days and weeks. Lord, for all the great things you have done for us. Lord, today we just want to say our hearts are thankful, Father. Thank you so much. Thank you for your love and your compassion in our lives. I don't know how we do it without you, Father. We need you more. Lord, today and this week, we choose to be thankful to you and thankful to the people around us. We choose to be different from the world who is unthankful. And we choose, oh God, to declare your goodness, how you washed our sins away and changed us. Lord, let us be people that will draw people to salvation by the attitude of thankfulness and gratefulness that's in our hearts. That Jesus, we will do your will and please heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. The prayer team's around the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything, they're here for you. If you're a guest in the house, we'd love to meet you in the guest reception room. Have an awesome week. Serve God with all of your heart and be thankful.
Oh.